Well, let me tell you something. This is a really happy day to get to see all of our friends. This person is normally traveling the world. If AB sees you around town, you know you're going to be on radio. Welcome, Alex Baum.
Oh, that's a great catchy little line there. I like that. I'm going to steal that one.
What's going on in Kenwood? What's going on with AB sees you? And tell us what you've been up to.
Okay, well, I guess I'll start with ABC's You because you put that out there. And your little tagline just there that sparked me was because I think you're right that I've been traveling a lot this year, a hell of a lot this year. And I it's the first year where I would say I've been traveling more than I've been here. It's a kind of a preview or maybe it's the opposite of preview. It's like afterwards when I become pre-COVID again, where like life before COVID comes back. And there is a principle I have with ABC's You, for those who don't know my show. It's a little pun on words, since my name's Alexis Baum, otherwise known as AB. And I see you and put a little audio spotlight on your story. And I've been asked many times if I can do them remotely, because we live in this remote world. And someone's like, oh, yeah, I want you to interview this person. And I'm like, nope, I don't do it that way. It's a really strong principle for me that I actually have to see you in real life, and then that sparks the opportunity to hear your story in context and in like the emotional context and the physical context of what's going on.
Which is why we love having you, and I want to do a shout out to the last time we were in studio and to our dear friend who is abroad, Anna Hummel. We miss you. And I have to say that AB saw Anna. Anna saw AB, and I think they may have been in Australia and New Zealand together, because that's who you are. You're
we
all
knew
about
someone.
Connection.
Yeah, we knew someone in common. It was like the connection really happened. That was a really great opportunity. And it was another one where I just swooped into the studio. Thank you to you and Nanette for bringing me here. And I didn't know who else was going to be in the room. And I think it's those spontaneous connections that's been the driving force of ABC's You and just my whole philosophy, which I call times over time, about the deep and meaningful times we spend together over long periods of time that really add up to friendships and relationships that we couldn't have anticipated.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, I have to brag a little bit on her. First of all, Alexis has been a board member for how long?
5 years. I'm running right now for a sixth year.
And really instrumental in working with Joe Brudeau and Jay Kolb, our music director.
Oh, wait, you're talking about Radio St. Pete.
Yes,
sorry,
Radio
I need
St.
a correction there.
Oh.
Immediately when you say board, I just think Historic Kenwood Board, which I'm sure we'll get to.
Well, yeah,
to.
We're going to get to Kenwood.
Radio St. Pete Board, it's been, what, 2 years? 2 years.
Yeah. Joe, I don't know how Joe found you. How did he find you? Tell us the story. I think you
told
me
once. Joe find me? There is a story. I might have told it before, but, you know, I'm sure not everyone's heard it. Actually, they found me in Kenwood. So Jay found me. Actually, when I was the president of Kenwood, and I was helping out at our Artist Enclave studio tour back then, I was at the Kenwood Gables volunteering at that sort of part of the tour. And so Jay walked in, and he found out I was the president, so came up to me and was like, ah, I'm the musical director for Radio St. Pete, and like we really want to do more with Kenwood because we want to be all local, and actually our radio tower is right nearby here, and we want to have like just more connection to the community neighborhoods, and like we should do some collaboration. You're an arts neighborhood, you do music, all that stuff. So he handed me his business card, and I know I've said this on radio before. It sat on my desk in front of my computer to remind me for about 6 months, and I didn't forget. I just was like, oh yeah, got to do it, and urgent matters always came first. Those great nice to have things that I wanted to like, and I've always loved radio. I love those who know me know I love speaking more than anything else. So radio is a great medium for me. But it just was one of those things, like it was nice to have and I didn't get to it for a while. But you know what? It just goes to show you that everything comes at the right time and when it's supposed to. And so when I finally got around to the right circumstance to be talking to Jay, we got into more talking, and I just was like, okay, what do you need from Kenwood? And we started talking. And then Jay and Joel both had separate lunches or breakfast with me. And to be honest, I was so over capacity with being the president of Kenwood, I wasn't looking for any more volunteer opportunities. But the more that I talked with Jay and Joe and the vision and the grassroots entrepreneurialness of Radio St. Pete, I could not resist. And so whenever there's an interesting collaborative project ahead that has the openness to try things, you should just know out there that it's very hard for me to say no to that stuff. So,
well, and we have an open collaborative project we might be working on with poetry, which is going to be very exciting. But I want to go back to Kenwood, because Kenwood is a very special community. And, of course, a shout out to Pete Gallagher and the Posse on Florida Folk Show.
For sure.
Which used to play in the Craftsman Gallery and is now here in studio so we can do Facebook Live. And they are also Kenwood people. But tell us about what's going on in Kenwood and what's going on for the holidays.
So Kenwood, it's actually a really big week for Kenwood, because this Wednesday is our annual meeting, because we're a neighborhood association, a 501c3, so we have our annual general meeting, but it also doubles as a holiday gathering, potluck party, so members and friends of Kenwood, like people that we invite, you don't have to be a member to come, we'll have a celebration together, but then it triples as our elections. So our board elections will be on Wednesday night, and we've already had our absentee ballots all put in by the end of yesterday, and our in-person part of the election will happen Wednesday night. But that's, and that change, you know, that has a big change, a dynamic that plays out in any neighborhood association. Those who are part of their own or have been on boards know that people who stand up to be on the board, like for as a full volunteer, like giving their love and efforts to their neighborhood, like is a lot of what makes these neighborhoods thrive. So I'm running again for the sixth time. That's what I thought you were talking about earlier. But also then that's just this week, because we have so much going on, like leading into all the festive season. I can say that we have, beyond that, we have garden workshops happening. We have Holiday Lights bike ride happening. That's on December 6th. Like, wow. People are riding around, and everything that we do is open to everyone. So it is kind of a public event in that respect. That's to see all the Christmas lights, and it's actually a bike ride going from our holiday lights to Old Northeast. So I hope old Northeasters and others will be a part of that as well, led by a neighbor, Lori Lord, who's just decided to spontaneously do this. And then one of our flagship events, Winter in the Wood, which is in its third year. Again, just like a spontaneous initiative by one of our residents who got excited by creating, from her words, it would be more like a German-style holiday festival
thing. With Krampus?
And I don't think... This time we're doing it in collaboration with the Sunday market at the high school.
Fun.
And so we're adding a bunch of other vendors. We're adding other activities. Santa will be there, as always, with our traditions. We're having a wreath-making workshop during that time as well that people can get a part of. Anyway, that's open to anyone. That's going to be from 10 to 2, so it'll align with the hours of the market, of the Sunday market this year. And that's a new collaboration for us with that. So it's our third year of doing that. And we've got all of our regular things like porch parties. We've got holiday lights decorating competition. Kenwood's known for this. I don't know if we have the show that some of the other neighborhoods do, to be honest. I've heard about some of the others and I haven't driven through them. But Kenwood does do some good lights. And we give awards for our lights. So we are having a competition on the 21st to go around and vote on the best, on the most traditional, the most whimsical, and the most over the top.
Okay, ABC's you. I definitely see that going up on Facebook. And folks, Alexis is going to shoot me this. We're going to have this on our What's Happening on our website.
Perfect.
And that's incredible. You know, tell people where Kenwood is, because a lot of people are visiting, or they're snowbirds, or they're new.
Yeah.
Tell us about where Kenwood is.
So I guess the best way I describe it is just by giving the kind of street edges of it. It overlaps with the Grand Central District. It borders on North Kenwood is next to it, and so is Palmetto Park. So we go from Central Avenue, which I think many people who've been to the city understand the center is central. We go from Central Avenue to 9th Ave North. That's in one direction. And the other way, it goes from 34th Street. That's the west side, all the way to the highway, 275. So that's like the boundaries of Kenwood.
I went to St. Anthony's Hospital, and the next thing I knew, I was in Kenwood, and I said, oh, there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's Kenwood.
So I don't think many people don't only know the boundaries, and it's, to be quite honest, the boundaries of neighborhoods is... Depends who you're asking where the boundaries are. It's fluid. That's the way to put it. But that's currently how I understand it as being on the board. But I think a lot of us would support the idea that really, like, we are a permeable boundary, because we love being involved in the rest of the community and the city. And like, it is fluid, honestly, even though there has to be some kind of boundary to name where your members are and are not. But we even have associate members. We have people from other states who are members of Kenwood. So, you know, like, we are fluid, and we feel like once a Kenwoodian, always a Kenwoodian. If you move away, you're still involved. If you live on the other side of the city, but you like to come to our events. I meet so many people at our events that are not from Kenwood at all. We have people at our meetings that are not from Kenwood. Like, we are really open to that and welcoming of that. And I think it makes the community stronger.
And you know, I'm going to ask you, are there Barbies in Kenwood?
No, but what that makes me reminded of is that my pest control guy, who dealt with a termite issue, or no, a flea issue that I had, will leave the story to be told. His name is actually Ken Wood.
Oh, okay.
Like,
thank
and
you.
That was the first I've ever heard of that, but I'm never going to forget him.
Oh, my God. Hey, yeah. You know, what are some of your holiday memories with your lovely mother?
Oh, with my mother, who also lives in St. Pete.
I know.
Yeah, do you know her well as well?
No, but I know. I feel like I know her fluidly because from her Facebook.
Oh, God. The first memory that comes to mind, I'll just go with it, is like, you know, we grew up actually spending holidays with other families as well, because my parents were very, very open to us just finding everybody as our family. So maybe that's resembling of the Kenwood philosophy I'm just sharing. But so my brother and I were we would often be at other friends for holidays and stuff. And my parents weren't really like big on you have to be with us for holidays. And they still would say that, like, they're very used to me being overseas for holidays or in other places where I'm just celebrating something different. We celebrated Christmas ish because we had lots of friends that celebrated it. And of course, as a kid, it's very fun to go for those celebrations, but we always had Hanukkah traditions. Right. And I think, when we would talk about our Hanukkah traditions, it would be like, well, this year my mom gave me 2 socks to represent one for each day. So like, this is how Hanukkah works. 8 days, 8 gifts, but it doesn't work like that in my house. It's like, here's a toothbrush for one day and here's one sock for the other day. And like, I don't think it's you're raising your hand too, Nanette.
Oh,
I think it's very common,
God,
because parents will run out of ideas for 8 gifts.
Yeah. And 8 gifts. You know what? You're lucky if they remember which candle to light.
So I think that my mom would laugh. She knows I've told that story a lot of like just the kinds of gifts we would get at Hanukkah. But I think also like, you know, it's interesting to, my mom also loves to get me little menorahs or holiday t-shirts or dreidels or things to put in my house that I don't usually decorate with. But I have like Hanukkah pants and I have Hanukkah sweatshirts and I have things like that I only come out for that.
And yet you're wearing Radio St. Pete.
Yes. Okay. I have now realized that in the 5 years since I moved to St. Pete, when I moved to St. Pete, I didn't have any t-shirts with anything on it because I like solids. I don't like to be campaigning and it's just not my thing.
You're basic.
Yeah, very basics. I'm like, I'll wear black all the time. I'm from New York. And so, but since I moved here, I have more t-shirts than ever. I don't even know what to do. Like, I mean, I'm literally talking probably 100 t-shirts, but many of them are like, oh, I have 5 Bungalow Fest. No, I have 5 of each kind of Bungalow Fest Kenwood shirt, or I have 3 Radio St. Pete t-shirts of different kinds. And like, every shirt I have like 5 of, because I wear it as a uniform.
Let me jump in here just a moment, because Deborah Allen has just bought 2 tickets to tonight's event.
Yes.
Thank you, Deborah Allen.
Yay,
she answered.
Deborah.
She answered the call, and you can do it too. Jump on RadioSt.Pete.com and click on the donate button and buy a 1 or 2 or 8 tickets to the holiday happy hour tonight, beginning at 7 o'clock at Bayboro Brewing. Continue.
Well, you know, it's great that you say that, Joe. And speaking of t-shirts, it's a perfect segue to say, we hope that you're going to join us tonight. But there's another way that you can donate to Radio St. Pete. We have merch. Did you know that? We have merch.
Do we have new merch?
We have new merch. We have hats. We have cups. We have t-shirts. We have shirts with long sleeves.
Okay.
We have hoodies.
How am I on the board? I didn't even know that. I'm not paying attention.
So you know, and a percentage of those go to Radio St. Pete, and it's wonderful. Yeah. Karen Carmichael led that initiative, and we're delighted. I don't know who's printing it, but I think it's one of our sponsors that also does that. So, you know, there's many ways to donate, but what I really want to talk about with you is the importance of not random acts of kindness, but daily acts of kindness, particularly during this season, you know. And I want to just do again a shout out to St. Pete Life Magazine, their giving guide. There are 30 to 50 places. What do you think is the importance of giving back during the holidays? And it's not just about us at Radio St. Pete. There are so many great nonprofits to donate to.
I think you get as much out of it as you give. I think that's a big part of it. It's not, I just never think of my giving as altruism or people's giving. It doesn't need to be, you know. I think that people underestimate what it's like to be a generous giving person in a day-to-day time. And maybe the holidays help you figure that out, especially because we've notoriously felt very consumerist in holidays. Like we all know as Americans, like especially, like that's just a thing, right? And so like it's a time we actually sort of forget about it. We're drained. I even forget. I'm like, I want to be done with all of it and just be in a cave by myself for a month and I don't want to help anybody. Like this is the point where I am at my end for how much giving I've been giving. And so maybe that's why it's so special at the holidays, because it's like that extra push to really remind ourselves what it's all for. Yeah, I just, you know, to be able to pause and even just give your time to someone or to give a smile to someone or to be in a good spirit, not even about holidays, but just because we're here, I think is like an extra ask right now for people. And I think that that's like, you get so much out of just doing that.
There's so many simple things you can do besides donating toys or really, I think the food banks, you know, I want to point out that Feeding Tampa Bay, we have wonderful partnerships with Florida Humanities, Feeding Tampa Bay, and the Humane Society. You can help with the fur babies. You can help write cards to those who are in assisted living. Our military and those who serve, write cards to them. You know, you talk about connection and connectivity and the importance of making contact. Sit down and write notes to your family.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that you have to say, now is the time to say it. In a time when communication is fake, we have AI fake, there's never been a time that's more important to sit down and not just do ABCs you, but AB writes to you. And I challenge all of you that are listening to Radio St. Pete today to take one moment, not to give so much, but to share a thought that will inspire. Sometimes the holidays are a dark time for people, and there's mental health, self-esteem starts today. So, you know, sure, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, he was invented by a department store for a promotional thing. And tinsel, early tinsel was made from real silver, a symbol of wealth. It's not about the eggnog. It's not about the jingle bells. It's about daily acts of kindness. And I love the fact that it's not altruism. It's a lifestyle.
It is. I think that's a great point.
So what's your superpower going forward? And what magic did you uncover at a young age that gave you this superpower?
Oh, wow. Okay. My superpower. That's a good one. I ask that question of a lot of people, too. It's funny that I'm like, now I'm having a moment. My superpower, that's the first one that's coming to me again, is that I is working and living live. Like, I think this for me, and how did I come at it as a kid? I think because I was so perfectionist and so planned, and if it didn't go to plan or it didn't happen the way that I wanted it to, I was disappointed and I was ashamed and I was embarrassed and I would beat myself up and I was really hard on myself. And I was, like I said, a perfectionist. And so I had like, this has to be this way for it to be good or right. And I teach innovation and design thinking and like ways of working to people all around the world. And one of the things I always teach them is like, you can change what right means as to fit to context. And so I had to trick myself into that to overcome. I call myself a recovering perfectionist sometimes, because to recover that, you have to say, am I 100% fit to this time in this moment in this space with these people in that situation? Am I saying that right thing for that moment? And the answer is yes, because that's what's occurring to me. And so when you can kind of reframe life like that, I think it does change what burden you put on yourself for being too prepared or too planned and having things go to plan, because nothing goes to plan. Like, you know, like life happens and we should not be like, oh shoot, I can't say that word. That life happened. It didn't go the way I thought. We should be like, life happened and that's why it went this way.
Life happened. Right? Yes. Yes.
And so that's maybe my gift to everyone in this holiday season is like, you know, you can make all the plans you want and for the gifts you want to give and the people you want to see and the things you want to do in the holidays, but like, none of that's going to go exactly the way you thought it would, and be excited about the opportunity for that happening.
I love that. Folks, if you've just joined us on Radio St. Pete, it's a day of giving, and we are talking with Alexis Baum. She is not only a regular podcaster with us on ABC's You, she's also on our board of directors, one of a few that really help shape our ability to serve our community. And if you're listening now, please go to our website. Click on the right-hand little donate or buy a ticket. What are you buying a ticket for? You're buying a ticket for tonight's performance, the James Taylor Collective. It's going to be just incredible. There are a few tickets left. We want you to come. Alexis will be there. I'll be there. Joe will be there. There will be maybe 100 of your new best friends going to be there. And if you can't join us, you can tune in and think about giving a donation, whether it's a small amount, a big amount. If you give $100 by 4 o'clock, you will win one of three things: two tickets to Nate Najjar's Palladium, December 11th, a tribute to Vince Guaraldi, a Charlie Brown Christmas, a San Francisco favorite of mine, and I don't have that right in front of me, but I'll tell you in a minute, that's in December, or anytime you want. The lovely Matthew McGee of Free Fall has given two tickets to A Musical Christmas Carol. So the phone number to call is go to the website and donate, or text Sunshine 967-253-555. And if you just want to pick up the phone, 727-899-1835, we'll get a recording and we will call you back. But you know what? Any way you want to donate is great. We look forward to having you. So, Alexis, I just got to ask you something. You love music. You have a Christmas song because, in addition to everything else, she's a musician. Tell us about Soul Food Acapella.
Yeah, Soul Food Acapella. So, some know that I'm a dual citizen of Australia and America. And while I was living in Australia for about 8 years, I was probably six of them. Full-time a part of a soul food acapella group, it's called. And it was a acapella choir of about 50 voices. It's still the love of my life in so many ways. And I got to perform at the opera house with them and all kinds of things that are really amazing. And I got to perform with them virtually while I was back in St. Pete then, because during COVID we could do virtual presentations. And that is what is pulling on my heartstrings to go back there in December, I'll say, for this holiday time, because my first and only ever recorded CD, proper professionally recorded CD, is with Soul Food Acapella, and it's our Christmas album. So I've brought it to Jay, and I believe it's somewhere in our rotation, because even though we're all local and community, I said, well, I'm local and I'm community, and I'm a voice in there, so can we play Soul Food Acapella? And you know, they never go out of style, these songs. So it's kind of like the gift that keeps on giving, even if it's been years since I've been singing directly with them. So I love it every time.
So who is your favorite holiday crooner before we sign off with you? What is your favorite? What's on your playlist for the holidays?
Oh, my gosh. I
know what it is. Sandler's Hanukkah song.
To be honest, I don't have a favorite. I would just say that, like, I do really feel like that holiday music in the background. Just yesterday I was at a store. I'm like, it's just so good. I don't even know if this is a holiday song, but it just sounds like it. And so there's like a sound that just seems to like permeate in the air when there's holiday music around. I don't know what it is, but maybe we need it sometimes in the middle of the year. There's not a specific song, maybe a soul food acapella song.
Soul food acapella. You know, I found out that Jingle Bells was originally written for Thanksgiving, not Christmas. Go figure that, right?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. So folks, we've been with Alexis Baum. I want you to go to RadioSaintPete.com. Donate or get tickets for tonight. But then I want you to click on the podcast, where there are almost 10,000 interviews, podcasts, and our very favorite, AB sees you. When she sees you, she hears you.
I could be interviewing you tonight if you come on down. We'll see.
Thank you, Alexis, for being on air with us.
Well, you know, could you possibly have sung Mary, Did You Know?
Yes.
Santa Baby, Silent Night, or We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Absolutely. I'm in all of those. Okay. So you could play one of those.
Please make a request. Which one would you like to hear?
Oh, okay. Nanette says Santa Baby. I'll go with that one. It is a good one.
All right. Here we go. Soul Food Acapella. I remember this.
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Then an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down that chimney tonight. Santa baby, a 54 convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, so hurry down that chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be just as good if you check off my Christmas list. Santa baby, I want a yacht, and really, that's not a lot. Been an angel all year, Santa baby, so hurry down that chimney tonight. Santa, honey, one little thing I really need. The deed to a platinum mine, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Come and trim my Christmas tree with some decorations bought at Tiffany. I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing, a ring. I don't mean on the phone, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
That is Santa Baby, done by Soul Food A Cappella. And the lead singer in that was?
Amanda, or it goes by Mandy Langlois.
Okay. And again, where about was this recorded and about when?
This was in Sydney, Australia. I cannot remember the name of the studio we recorded it in. But when? Oh, gosh. That's a great question. I feel like it would have to be, could it be 2014, 15? I don't know. Okay. Something like that.
Right. Well, you may hear it again during the holiday season here.
I hope so.
At Radio St. Pete. Talk just one more minute while I find what I left to play that.
You don't got to tell me twice to talk for another minute. I can always do that with Nanette here, my buddy.
Well, you know, what are the Christmas traditions in Australia? I mean, you know, is it just put a shrimp on the Barbie?
Yes, that phrase does exist. I mean, I think it's not too far off from Florida, because the funniest thing, right, is the climate difference. And I always used to say, like, living almost a decade in Australia, one of the greatest things that I didn't realize till I was living there is the fact that New Year's and the start of your new year is in a summer climate where you're like in that energized, like it's the best time of year seasonally and energetically and festivals and that. And you're like, yeah, that's how it's supposed to be. Why is the new year, when we're trying to get excited, the time when we want to like go down in darkness and like, you know, put on sweaters or hide in the corner and not get out of bed? Like, it seems very hard for people to do that.
Absolutely. And I love the fireworks. I was in Australia at Sydney, and then they do the fireworks. And you always see this on television. It was like, well, that was 24 hours before it happened here, right?
So, I mean, traditions for me in Australia was actually singing with Soul Food, because we do a ton of different concerts and things during that seasonal time. So,
Alexis, you have also occasionally been a co-host on the Florida Folk Show. And my Christmas miracle story related to Radio St. Pete actually has to do with the Florida Folk Show, of all things. Pete Gallagher, several years ago, Christmas fell on Saturday. And you know, I figured there would be no Florida Folk Show. He goes, well, no, we always do the Florida Folk Show when it falls on Christmas morning, which he had done several times over WMNF. And so I said, well, okay. But, you know, it was kind of in our early days of live broadcasting, and things went wrong even more often than they do today. And so, you know, there I am having Christmas morning breakfast, pretending like I'm not listening to the radio. And I see at like, would have been 9:40, my phone rings, it's from Pete. So I figure, so I got to get up from the table, sneak off, you know, where I can't be heard. And Pete says, we got a problem, like the main cable is broke. May not be able to get on the air. And I go, do you have any spare cable? We don't have the right cable. So I go, well, you know, I'll put something on. We just won't have the Florida Folk Show on Christmas morning, which we could have easily not. Well, at any rate, you know what he did? He picked up the phone and he called the legendary Sarasota Slim. He woke him out of a deep sleep. Sarasota Slim gets up, jumps in the car, drives down to the Craftsman House with the right cable, and the show goes on. So
that is a Christmas miracle. Right there. Like, how perfect could that be?
Unbelievable. So, in honor of Sarasota Slim, here he is to close out this hour. And his immortal version of Frosty the Snowman, the legendary Sarasota Slim.